What can we do to fight back against Big Pharma and the compromised medical industry? We can become healthy and break free from the perpetual cycle of being poisoned by criminal organizations like most pharmaceutical companies. Come check out what may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man, C60 Purple Power. The benefits of C60 have been personally outstanding. I use it every day and I feel incredible. I have tons of energy, I sleep great, and I haven't even come down with a cold since I started using C60 over 2 years ago. You can even get C60 for your pets. Do your own research, click the link in the description, and check out their website. If you order from that link or use coupon code KNOWLEDGE10, you get 10% off your order plus free shipping. What is your health worth to you? Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Hush Hush Society. First, a couple of announcements. We're back on YouTube. We will be sharing YouTube safe clips as Forbidden Knowledge News clips. Be sure to go check that out and subscribe. It's a brand new channel. That link is right in the description. You can get Forbidden Knowledge News live 5 days a week on Rumble, Rockfin, and our website. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. That's the home of the Forbidden Knowledge Network. It's also where we feature some of your favorite podcasts. And you can always get every new episode of Forbidden Knowledge News on Rockfin, Rumble, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Sign up on Rockfin. Rockfin is a great way to support us. It is also where you get our premium content. And best of all, you get all the premium content from every creator on Rockfin. Just go to rockfin.com/FKN+ or use that link right in the description. Today I want to welcome Dave, Mystery Mike, and Slick Frank Sanders. They are hosts of the Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour. The trio discusses subject matter like conspiracy theories, cryptids, cults, the paranormal, or anything strange in general. Gentlemen, welcome. How y'all doing?
Fantastic. Super swell, super swell.
Great to have you on. This is going to be so fun. Today, we're going to be discussing one of my favorite topics, cryptid creatures, and the incredibly strange phenomena that surrounds some of these beings, like UFO sightings, poltergeist activity, missing time, portals, and a whole host of other high strange happenings. This is one of my favorite topics to get into, lots to get into. But first, this is your first time on, gentlemen. Tell us a little about yourselves and your podcast. Whoever wants to go first.
You know what?
I'll just jump in at the bit.
We are the three from Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour. We get into conspiracies, cryptids, weird stuff, mysteries, true crime, cults, a little bit of everything. So if you're into this sort of thing, you're going to enjoy our show. You could find us pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. As always, we have a Rockfin and hushhushsociety.com for everything else.
Right on, right on. Anyone else have anything to add?
Nailed it.
All right, perfect. Well, guys, what got you started with the podcast and what got each of you interested in some of these topics?
Mike's really the inception of this podcast. He had a previous podcast, which was a lot of fun. It was like a review podcast with sci-fi movies from the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know. And it was a lot of fun. I was on it for, I think, two times maybe, just for fun. And Mike had lost a co-host, and we talked about dabbling into doing it together. And he just was like, nope, we're doing something else. What are we doing? and we both agreed on conspiracies. He hit up Frank, and the trio was born. It took us a couple months to figure out what we were doing, and almost 3 years now.
Now, have any of you had any of your own paranormal or unexplained encounters, anything that sticks out for you?
Paranormal, for sure. I, for one, lived in a haunted house for, I'd say, probably about 2 years before I moved out when I was a teenager. I could go on for an hour. I don't want to get lost in conversation, but I'm talking clocks flying off the walls and cabinet doors swinging open and people climbing into bed with you that weren't actually there, like wild, wild Man. Shit. Nothing cryptid, but yeah, I've had my slew of paranormal activity in my life.
What was the craziest thing that happened to you? Just tell us about that.
Craziest thing. So I'm just going to give it the pretense that the family dynamic while living in this house wasn't exactly comfortable. It wasn't positive. It was like a very negative time. There was never anything good going on in the house. It was just always bad shit. I'm sorry. Is shit okay?
Yeah, whatever you want, man.
All right.
Curse your ass off.
So nothing good. So when you walked into the house at certain times, it was almost as if there was like this negative energy. You'd walk into the house and it would feel heavy, like you were walking into Jell-O, and like you knew it wasn't good. One time in particular, you know, parents were fighting, brothers upset about something. I walked into the house after school all angry, and I'm grabbing my skateboard, grabbing my backpack, going to leave for the day. I was packing my bag in the kitchen, and my mother has this almost like china cabinet that was propped up in the corner of the dining room. Packing my bag, and one of the doors literally slammed open real hard in front of me, and it hit the wall. And I looked up at it, and at that point I'd been dealing with this stuff for like, you know, a year and a half, and I just looked at it and I was like, not right now, and I just left. And like I said, a clock flying off the wall in my bedroom, that was freaky. I had two of my friends over after school. We were, you know, just doing high school teenage activities in my bedroom, and the clock literally flew diagonally probably 8 feet across my bedroom, and like both my friends looked at me like, ah, we thought you were joking about your house. And yeah.
Did you ever do like any investigations or have any kind of spiritual interactions, like interventions or anything like that?
No, not necessarily. So like I said, at the time I was a teenager, I was trying to be home as little as possible, not necessarily because of the paranormal presence that factored into it, but no, I had no interest in that. I did psychedelics in that house, and I can't say for sure that the spirits had anything to do with some weird experiences, but there was definitely some things that happened that weren't typical for that sort of stuff.
Tell me, I have to hear this because I'm a huge psychonaut. What happened?
We would just like hear voices that weren't there, which is typical, I guess, kind of, if you ask certain people, but I had never had that happen anywhere else. And we would think that there were people, like we could feel, you know, entities there. But again, that's somewhat typical. I don't know, but it was almost exaggerated in that location. It was
interesting.
Weird. It was strange.
Interesting. Mike, Dave, any other paranormal experiences or any stories that you've heard that really stick out to you about anyone else's experience?
I have been haunted for a long time.
Yeah.
3:23 in the morning, right, Mike?
Yeah. It's three dead on 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. For as long as I can remember, I wake up on the dot. Give or take a minute or 45 seconds. But yeah, I wake up every single night, 3 p.m. or 3 a.m. And not sure why. And every time that I have, it always feels like somebody's watching me. And when it first started way, way back, it was just kind of a feeling like somebody was peering at you from the dark corner of the room. Where it really amped up was probably around 2013. I lived in a house where it was a little weird. There was some weird energy to it, much like Frank had said.
Is that the place in Manchester?
No, I was New Britain. But yeah, so I was living there, weird energy, and my room was kind of next to the stairwell to the basement. And every night, like I said, would wake up around 3 and I would hear somebody running up the stairs. Bum, 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 bum. And like clearly, like, you know, and then I would, you know, feel this weirdness in the room, and it felt like a female energy. And the person that I was living with, they had a child, a little baby girl, and she used to just like be talking in the middle of the night, like she was talking to someone. And we always kind of felt that it was like a nurturing woman kind of spirit, but to me it felt otherwise. I don't know, maybe it's because I interpreted it that way, but yeah, 3 a.m. That's me.
That's crazy. What about you, Dave? Anything interesting?
I've got one that kind of like reoccurs. If you're talking like paranormal, it really started at a band practice that I had. I can't really give the definite date. It was probably like 2006. We were in my friend's house, and his house, also in New Britain, has like a holy water. His dad lived there his whole life. His dad would tell us stories about like hands coming through the wall and stuff. And we always thought he was like, oh, this dude smokes a lot. Like he's from the same product of the 70s. Like he's out there. But the house had like a historical plaque. So it was old, and we would practice in the basement, and it was a duplex. So the same house was on the other side, and nobody lived there for years. So we would practice on one side, but this happened. Two things happened in that house on both sides of the basement. One was unfinished, one was finished, but we were having a band practice and nobody else was home. And I was sitting there and watching, and I saw the door open and something come down behind my friend, one of my guitar players at the time, and just crouch and look like underneath like the basement stairs. And my drummer saw it, who lived there, and he's just like, yeah, don't worry about it. That's my boy or whatever. Like whenever he's like, that's my dark homie or something. And he'd be fine with it because he sees it all the time. But ever since then, I don't know if this is a connection with it, but ever since then, for the past, I think like 5 apartments I've lived in, the bathroom and the bedroom, I always feel like somebody's peering around the corner. And you'll like wake up in the middle of the night and you'll see like somebody like peer and come back. Mm. And I've only not had it happen in the last place I lived over the last like probably like 8 years. So yeah, that's been really weird that all that has happened, because that entity that I saw coming down the stairs, it was like a person size, but it was just darker than the staircase.
Yeah, man. I believe there's a whole realm of life forms and intelligences just beyond what we can perceive with our vision, just beyond the spectrum of what we can perceive, probably surrounding us at all times, which brings us to cryptid creatures. I think that in the whole realm of paranormal phenomena, even considering UFOs and extraterrestrials, cryptid creatures, like we're just talking about ghosts and paranormal, I think it's all part of this same unseen energy that surrounds us at all times. I think the afterlife can be explained by what we would understand as pure consciousness. Whenever we die, we pass on to these realms that are probably just beyond our vision. But when we get to cryptids, it becomes a little bit more complicated. Although it seems to have profound connections to the paranormal realms, there's some physical aspects to it. Some people claim that some of these creatures are just physical hominid beings, but from what I've heard and from some of the eyewitnesses that I've spoken with, there seems to be a lot more to it. These beings seem to have some sort of consciousness abilities at times. One of the most profound cryptid encounters, one that I'm putting in my documentary, is from a gentleman named Scott Pace. He is an experiencer that I've been talking with and interviewing for a while, and he's had ongoing experiences, and they're evolving. First, it started out where he's a hunter in South Louisiana. He was in a deer stand, and he was looking out, and he, through his rifle scope, he saw a Bigfoot And a few feet away, he saw a dog man, and they started psychically communicating to him. Dog man, very aggressive, threatening to come up there and kill him. The Bigfoot was trying to deter the dog man, and they started having this like three-way conversation in their mind, which was incredible enough. But after this experience, he kind of broke open and started having all sorts of encounters with what he calls little forest people, smoke creatures, extraterrestrials, reptilian beings, all these things he started getting glimpses of, and not only getting glimpses of, at times interacting with, and he'd have missing time, and he'd wake up in the next morning, and he'd remember encounters with extraterrestrial beings and what he seems like Bigfoot beings. So there seems to be a weird connection between all of this. I couldn't tell you what it is, but I'm excited to get into this. What do you guys think is going on with some of these cryptid creatures? And maybe we can talk about some of the encounters you guys have heard about.
I got to say, before we move on, that staircase that I had, that experience, Mike used to sit right on that staircase when we were at band practice, at some band practices. So maybe Mike, 2013, when you started having your 3 a.m. thing, is from Brett's house. Following me, following you.
in the terms of this cryptid experiencer that you're speaking on, I'm sort of left wondering if some people are more susceptible to these experiences on sort of a consciousness or spirituality level, or if it's just the frequency that they're out in nature, because it's not typical that somebody is sitting in their living room and they have an experience where they see a Bigfoot or see a gnome run across, you know, their living room floor. They're typically out in the middle of the woods. So I don't know if it's on a frequency basis, you know, how much they're out there in the wilderness where this weird stuff happens, or if certain people are just, you know, more naturally prone to seeing these things. Because there's hundreds, if not thousands and thousands and thousands of hunters per state, and you know, you've got a very small percentage of them that see these things, you know, maybe once in a lifetime, maybe a couple times, maybe dozen times a month, who knows. It's interesting that guy that you had mentioned, you know, had the Bigfoot and Dogman experience at once, and then it all sort of picked up and followed, which makes me think, you know, he passed some sort of threshold, right? Some sort of line was crossed and all of that activity sort of picked up. That's weird.
It also makes me wonder if when they started psychically speaking to him, if that also triggered something in his consciousness, maybe opened up his third eye or some kind of ability to where he was able to not only communicate, but perceive some of these beings. It's possible.
Right.
Yeah.
It right. Popped his cherry.
There you go. Yeah.
His face cherry. it's interesting because you could definitely think that it could be somebody's frequency might have changed, or their certain frequency is something that you would associate with being more susceptible to seeing more paranormal or UFO or, you know, just anything out of the ordinary. But it also, if a lot of hunters don't see it and it's not widely reported and it's random people with like a cell phone in the middle of the woods or things happening in their house, that would make me to believe that it's like interpersonal. Because if it's out in the woods, then it would make me think like, okay, then all of this stuff might actually just exist in the void of the woods where there's not many people. So there's a better frequency of seeing it. But less people see paranormal things and weird things in the deep woods than they would in kind of like maybe even just like as rural areas. And then even in the city, like people have had abduction stories of being in apartment blocks, you know, with thousands of other people around. So I think really it's got to be something to do with the way you perceive the world and your openness to certain thought processes maybe. But that's just my speculation. I feel like if I want aliens to come, maybe they'll come, but they might not.
Yeah, I think your belief definitely has something to it. Your perception, your willingness to accept something, your awareness has something to do with it. Because I think that whenever people have some of these experiences, they tend to not only become more interested in these, like Scott, the guy I am speaking with, he became more interested and he desired to interact with it more. He'd go out with the intention of trying to interact with it. So I think once a person becomes aware of some of these things and their beliefs tends to shift and they tend to think that it becomes more possible that these things exist, then everything starts falling away and your awareness becomes expanded a little. And I think this is across the board for anyone, but there's plenty of people that are completely shut off that'll probably never see any of this stuff, you know?
No, I got to ask, with Scott and his interest in picking up these communications and increasing these encounters, is he doing anything in particular to try to achieve that?
What's he was he is like the your most normal laid back country dude. He's in his 50s and he goes to church every Sunday. He's a very religious type of person. What he would do is he'd walk out to the woods with his Bible and he'd start quoting Bible verses to these creatures. He'd start singing Bible hymns. And he claimed that when he did that, he would sometimes get communication back that they would approve of it. They liked some of the songs he was singing. And there was one instance where the craziest thing, he saw what appeared to be a 7 or 8 foot, maybe taller, being across a meadow that looked like a Bigfoot, and he started singing to it because it somehow requested him to sing because it knew who he was or something, because he eventually started to form relationships with these things. And as he was singing, these two, what he only described as little forest people, started coming out of the ground and dancing to the music, but they weren't like Bigfoots. They were different types of creatures. He said they looked like they had spinning, kind of lit up kaleidoscope eyes that would spin in the dark, and he gave an incredibly creepy description of these beings. So yeah, he would definitely seek to interact with these things.
Dave, go ahead, Mike.
I'm just wondering, is he going back to the same locations to do
this? He's going all over Louisiana. Now he's traveling because he's met other experiencers across the United States that have had similar experiences, and he's going and, you know, seeing what they have and comparing notes and having different experiences. So he is actively going after this stuff, but it's not like he's actively trying to go out and talk about it in the public or go on talk shows. He doesn't really talk about it unless you ask him about it. He's incredibly interested for his own knowledge and his own experience, though. But yeah, it is definitely something that that is an evolving process for a lot of people when they start experiencing some of these things and they're not scared off completely by it.
So what I was going to say was it's interesting that he's going out into the forest and singing these songs and singing these hymns. Dave brought a video to my attention. I believe he found it on Reddit of a man in the woods doing some sort of throat singing.
Throat singing.
Yeah. And these creatures,
they
look
like Wendigos, man. They look weird.
They weren't Bigfoot necessarily, but they were some sort of creatures. And once this dude started throat singing, they're peeking out behind these trees and almost stepping out to like see what it is. And I think it's those frequencies that sort of, I don't know, there's something strange with frequencies and the interdimensional aspect with cryptids. It definitely goes hand in hand. And once you're bringing song and music and different vibrations into the equation, I feel like you're definitely more, it's not susceptible, but it's more of a possibility to come across these things for sure. I've seen that on numerous cases. And like you said, with this guy, I mean, it might be successful for him.
Well, I think you're spot on with something about frequencies. I have a researcher friend, Ryan Burns, who has property on Skinwalker Ranch, and he's working with a few aerospace companies right now. He's got some NDAs. He can't talk about a lot of the stuff he's doing, but some of the stuff he comes on my show and talks about, some of the experiments they're doing out there to interact with whatever this force and these creatures are at Skinwalker Ranch. Some of the things they're doing is frequency based. They are emitting certain frequencies and having different reactions. Some other things, they're using equipment called an Ondulamp, which it mimics the effects of DMT within a certain radius, which is pretty crazy. They're doing that kind of thing out there too. And they've had incredible effects whenever they're using this Ondulamp. He showed me a picture of, I shit you not, it looked like a massive Dementor appeared in the sky above where they were doing these experiments. So yeah, I think you're right. There definitely has something to do with frequencies. And I think that what if we had a better understanding of this energy that's around us, we would have a better understanding of anti-gravity, electromagnetics, and this frequency works with this force that surrounds us at all time, that these cryptid creatures probably have a great understanding of and may know how to manipulate in some ways, and that may be where you get like portals and things like that, right?
I think it's all... Well, you mentioned, you know, anti-gravity. A lot of these cultures from the past, we're saying we don't know how they built things, and we use conventional, you know, cranes and you know, literally fighting against gravity to build things. So how some of these structures have been proposed to been built from back way back when, whoever knows what year, all speculation, that they used frequencies to create fields to manipulate things that were super, super heavy. So could it all just be common knowledge that if you can attach to these types of frequencies, then there's a whole nother world of beings that are actually on this planet or realm or whatever you call it, mm-hmm. that we're interacting with at all times. And the people before us kind of had maybe a better understanding of how to attach themselves to this, which could completely kind of write itself into, you know, mythology and lore and everything that we've done, you know, through the past of human writing.
Yeah. You guys think Bigfoot is a physical being, or is it a physical being that has an understanding of what we were just talking about, maybe this manipulation of this fifth state of matter or this energy that we don't understand, or is it something more metaphysical that can shift into densities or shift into in and out of our reality in some ways, or does it just have the ability to control our perception of what we see? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that they're I do think that they're portal walkers. If you really pay attention to a lot of the sightings of Bigfoots on video, through a lot of people talking about it, it's like they're 1 minute, gone the next. And most often, just speaking back to what Frank was talking about with frequencies and sound, if you look at a lot of these videos where somebody's maybe walking through the woods or, you know, out somewhere, in a lot of these sighting videos, people are whistling. So like they're just, you know, like a la-di-da type of whistle where they're strolling down, or like you said, they're singing a little song, and then all of a sudden they look up and there is something there. Now, whether there's validity to those videos, that's a whole nother argument, but it is an interesting thing. If you look at like a lot of these cryptid videos or sighting videos, there is this little preliminary spot where the person that's holding the camera is whistling or singing. So there is a little bit of something to that. But as far as Bigfoot, definitely, I do think that there is some sort of interdimensional thing going on there. I don't know if they're particularly a creature that is, you know, earthbound. I don't think that they're from Earth. My perception and my thoughts about most cryptids has changed a lot over the years. And I do think that they are just other dimensional creatures, aliens, if you want to call them that. I see them more as otherworldly travelers. You know, we see UFOs in the air. Yeah, they're maybe doing light speed or time travel or whatever they're doing, but there are these creatures that are more terra bound, you know, and they're not traveling maybe in a craft, but they're traveling by other means. And I think a lot of cryptids are like that.
You think they're musical? A musical realm, because we whistle to them and they all come out. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing about Bigfoot is, usually with sightings, you get the stench, right? You get this crazy stench, right? But a lot of times with ET encounters, you get a crazy stench too. Mm-hmm. So you just said kind of, you know, could they be extraterrestrial? And extraterrestrials, could they just be extra dimensional in our own realm, a part of our same system? I mean, I guess if you're going to talk about something from another planet in the same solar or the same galaxy, it's kind of in the realm of the same system. So, you know, as a full working organism. So I think we're very connected to stuff that we can't see. I think we can see a lot of stuff, but what percentage of our brain do we actually use? What is like, I know it's like very small.
Yeah, man. Have you guys heard of the cryptid Men in Black or cryptid cleanup crew? These high strange gentlemen or even women that show up after a sighting or an incident to either get you to try and think it was something else or divert attention or clean it up or cover it up in some way. Just like for alien encounters, apparently there are cryptid Men in Black. I've heard of a few different encounters with these people. One, I was talking with Tony Merkel about them. There's been several occasions where these like burly lumberjack looking dudes will come after a Bigfoot sighting and attempt to say it was a bear or cover up something or just get the people who witness it thinking in a different direction. That's one instance. Another is supposedly I've heard that there are different types of three-letter agencies or high-level groups that will come along after a Bigfoot dies, so we cannot find the body. They somehow know when these beings are dying. I've heard this from a couple of different people who are involved deeply in Bigfoot research. I couldn't tell you if this is true. A third encounter that I heard about was from my friend Trey Hudson, who's doing research out in the Meadow, which is a high strange location in Alabama, which is very similar to Skinwalker Ranch, and they're doing very similar research out there. Well, apparently they had an occasion where this young lady shows up in very nice attire, like a pantsuit, kind of like a woman in black would dress, and she knew a lot about the people involved. She started talking about the college they went to and all kind, and she started asking questions about what they were doing. And then she started what seemingly malfunctioning and talking about things that were nonsense and asked if they wanted to go see some monkey bears. And then she pulled down her pants and just pissed in front of all of them and got into her vehicle and left. Well, the researcher did some research on this woman after, and come to find out, he found her who she was later on, and she didn't remember anything of the incident. She remembered talking to them for a few minutes, and then she blacked out. And that makes me think, and makes other researchers think, that maybe the whole Men in Black thing is like a walk-in experience where something is taking over a person's body at that time when they need to do an investigation or they need to cover something up. They'll take over a person's body and they will appear as a Men in Black to cover up the situation. It's an interesting theory, but there is quite a few instances and tales of these people showing up.
That would make some sense, yeah. If you're looking at locationality, like, you know, how are you going to get an agent to, you know, out to Alaska within 12 hours or something? You're not, or, you know, you're going to have to dispatch that person right away. And, it would make more sense just to have somebody that's already there and you just remote right into them. And then they go in with all this information, or it could be some sort of brainwashing, mind control, something that's already set into these people. And you just have a few in every state and they just go out to the woods. Oh yeah, this guy lives close to the national forest. Let's send them out there and, you know, give him the code word, and he goes out there and he sends a message.
Yeah,
that's very possible. But as you were talking about the Bigfoot encounters, we talked to Alex Petikoff, who is he's an outdoorsman, cryptid hunter, I guess you could call him. He does a lot of work down in the Appalachians and also in Alaska. And he was talking about how him and his crew, he works with the Small Town Monsters crew. They came across what they call ground nests, and they attributed them to Bigfoots. Which is why, like a lot of, you know, you talk about how Bigfoot bodies aren't found, or big, you know, how do you not find Bigfoot nesting sites? So these ground nests exist, and they're kind of like a, like, you know, made of wood and sticks and stuff like that. And then they're just like broken up amongst debris in the woods. So nobody even really looks at them or pays attention to them. And as far as like dead Bigfoot, they either bury their dead, or if they're not a physical entity, they pull them out of this dimension, you know, send them somewhere else, or they cannibalize it.
Now, somebody did send me a picture of what they claim to be is Bigfoot shit. And dude, this was like the size of an elephant. It was huge. It was not like any animal I'd ever seen in a United States forest location. It was massive. So I don't know if it was actual Bigfoot poop or something, like a bear or something. It looked massive though, and it looked like logs, like a human, you know. So pretty crazy.
They definitely eat if they're around. They
yeah.
That's kind of why I struggle with Bigfoot in particular being interdimensional, because you've got so much evidence of Bigfoot or Sasquatch nesting and possibly hunting and defecating. Why is an interdimensional being nesting and hunting and defecating? Like, that's, to me, that's like you trying to explain to me an extraterrestrial working a 9-to-5 and paying rent and going home and cooking dinner. Like, to me, that doesn't make sense.
Well, if these guys just have consciousness ability, if they're just physical beings and say they have advanced consciousness abilities or knowledge of how to manipulate matter in some way, like forest magicians or forest sorcerers, maybe they do have the ability to just cloak in and out, or make us think they are, just take over our perception and make us think they're invisible when they're really standing right there and they're perfectly physical beings. That's something else I consider too.
I think both scenarios are very interesting. If there is a hominid creature that we don't know about, or we rarely see, that's smart enough to avoid us, and there's no reason that it couldn't avoid us. There's so much expansive space just in the United States that nobody lives in. You drive just from LA to Vegas, and if you veer off the road the wrong way and you get stuck, who knows what happens, you know? And then you get into the forest. So if there is a really smart creature that has some type of similar abilities, I think that that's really interesting that we haven't fully acknowledged it or found it. But the interdimensional part of it would make sense because it's so elusive. So I think both are really kind of an interesting concept. But Bigfoot, for me, I personally think that it's we don't even know what's under the ocean. So if something's that's similar intelligence as us, I mean, you just look at chimps, they're hyper intelligent just like us. They might not have the same abilities, octopus, stuff like that. Like, maybe we just haven't known about it, or we do know about it, and the three-letter agencies have a really good way of covering it up.
Yeah. There's a growing number of researchers and individuals looking at the possibility that a lot of what we understand as supernatural phenomena and paranormal activity may be something more closer to us doing this, like three-letter agencies, military-industrial complex. Now, I don't think that's the case for all of this stuff, probably not even half of this stuff, but it's possible that a lot of what we're seeing may be some sort of experimentation by our military-industrial complex, especially at places like Skinwalker Ranch, where there are already known to have underground military bases and activity there. But to what extent are we saying that some of this stuff is our own? If you look at things like the Camellio Project, the Camellio book written by Robert Guffey, that was about a gentleman being harassed by three-letter agencies and military-industrial complex in the 90s, and they were using such high tech advanced equipments to survey him and make him see things and think that aliens were coming, and they were sending advanced drones to his house and people in actual cloaked technology to make him think invisible men were in his house. And they were doing this in the 90s to get this dude to admit that he stole some kind of military goggles when he really didn't. But it's a whole convoluted story. I highly recommend you and your audience go looking up that book, Camellia by Robert Guffey. I'm having him on next month. It's incredible story, but just to think that that type of technology was available in the 90s, and I completely think that our military-industrial complex and aerospace companies contracted by the military have technologies that are extremely beyond anything we could imagine, maybe 50, 100, or maybe even a lot more years ahead than we could have ever imagined, and it just makes me think, to what extent of this are they using to make us believe in things that are paranormal?
I mean, 100 years would be a crazy leap. Look at what's happened in 20. You know, can you, I mean, only imagine what 100 year from us technology, 100 years technology could be us, you know, teleporting like Star Trek to Mars just for a vacation. Like we go to Vegas.
There's some that speculate we are, man. If you listen to the people that talk about secret space program and super soldiers and all that stuff, I don't really subscribe to that, but I think there are some military black projects that are involved in some shady stuff to make people perpetuate to those stories, but that's a whole different thing, you know?
Not necessarily in terms of Bigfoot are they, what I say, making people believe that.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily Bigfoot, but woods. More like your paranormal Skinwalker Ranch phenomena, some of the UFO phenomena for sure. Definitely.
100%. You mentioned underground bases. Now, there's a bunch of people believe that there are domes deep underground military bases underneath several of our national parks. And in our national parks are where you're seeing a lot of these Sasquatch encounters and Sasquatch, you know, sightings. And you had mentioned that there might be these cryptid men in black who, you know when they're walking about and know when they die. What if that's because they are chimeras created in these domes, chipped at birth? They're able to track their heart rate, track their movement, that they know all that is happening with these creatures. That brings a little bit more validity to that men in black sort of scenario for cryptids for me. I don't know. Wild shit, dude.
It is. And one of the tales that my experiencer Scott was telling me that started happening to him recently, he'd start having missing time and he'd wake up the next morning with memories of being escorted through underground tunnels and underground catacombs by extraterrestrials. And not only extraterrestrials, Bigfoot were there with him. And they would be, sometimes he would witness military personnel there just at a passing glance. But all these memories are somewhat dreamlike, and they're not complete. It's like he's somewhat drugged during these experiences. So it's very interesting to think that there could be some kind of collusion with humans and these creatures.
You make a statement that Mike had made, like when he had said something about Bigfoot possibly, you know, aligning with, you could be extraterrestrial, could not be extraterrestrial. If it's working with grays and reptilians and mantoids and whatever, you know, types of extraterrestrials we have on the list in all of our speculation, who's to say that there's not some hairy Chewbacca looking thing? Maybe Chewbacca is just a premonition to get us, soften us up, that Bigfoot exists, you know, in the same way that any other UFO or alien movie would portray. So, you know, predictive programming and conditioning for us to just be like, oh, well, Chewbacca, he's the thing that makes weird noises. He's friends with Han Solo, but, you know, now he's our friend in the woods too. But he's also, like Mike said, might not be from, you know, might not be earthbound.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say that Bigfoot is supposed to be like the missing link, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thinking along those lines, what if he is? What if that is, but he's not part of the evolutionary scale, something created in between. If you're taking like a silverback gorilla and you're mating him with a 6-foot tall male or, you know, female, whatever it may be, and you're taking those two DNAs and you're putting them together, who knows what's coming out? If the government is working on something like that, and this is the result of a government experiment, Bigfoot or Sasquatch or Skunk Ape, or, you know, they're all one and the same, just different variations, then who's to say that they're not, it's not the government trying to create this, this bridging of the gap between the ape world and the, you know, the Homo erectus world? You know, you don't know. So that's an interesting one. I think if there is a missing link, if there is any backing to that missing link, that would be it.
Yes, man. It's so interesting. It also ties into some of the theories of holographic reality or simulated reality, to where whenever we're experiencing some of this stuff, it may be either a glitch, or if it is like somewhat like a video game where this is our avatars and our true selves are outside of this controlling ourselves, well, maybe we're not winning the game correctly and we have to throw ourselves a cheat code. So we throw ourselves a profound paranormal or religious experience or spiritual experience. Usually after some of these paranormal or profound experiences, people get on with their lives in a different way. They have a better outlook. They become more spiritual. They become on a different path. So what if it is part of this kind of simulated reality outlook, to where these cryptid creatures, these paranormal beings or ghosts or spirits, are part of our experience here to get us thinking or moving on a different path?
It's a good way of looking at it. Interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I was just, for a second when you were explaining it, I was thinking about that Ski Free game when the abominable snowman comes out and eats you from the early 90s, where you're just skiing, really, having a great time, and it's like, that's it. You never win. But simulated reality and having these creatures, because there's not only the Bigfoot, like there's Mothman, or, you know, and there's hundreds of cryptids. You know, we got people that, you know, the Loveland, like a giant upright frog creature, you know, it's the Fresno Nightcrawler, stuff like that. There's so many, chupacabra, there's so many things that people have seen that I guess categorized as cryptids. But I feel like it's kind of a niche thing. It's something that's in our own world of us as I guess people who research weird and fringe things. A lot of people, you can mention a certain thing like Bigfoot and they would know who it is, but if you mention Mothman to somebody, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there seems to be a profound connection to consciousness, though, throughout all of these experiences, throughout all this phenomena. It seems to have a lot to do with our perception. And sometimes I wonder, and I've had guests on recently that pose the question of, if this is pure consciousness that we're interacting with that can manifest or materialize even into physical form based on our awareness, based on our perception, based on our interaction with it, that it is all one pure consciousness energy or source or whatever you want to call it that can interact with us in different ways. If you think of people's non-physical contact experiences, psychedelic experiences, where they seem to be talking with this intelligence, this overarching intelligence that knows everything and can appear as anything. Well, what if that's what we're dealing with all of this stuff, even what we consider angels and gods, that it is pure consciousness manifesting to us in different ways that we can understand?
That's so hard to quantify or even put into your mind conceptually. Because it's just so out there. It's out there in a good way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to like shill it up. I'm all for it. It absolutely could be. I think consciousness has many different facets of manifestation in a physical body, and that absolutely could be one of them. I like bringing simulation into it. I personally wouldn't see it as so much of a cheat code to, like, you know, get you on the right path. But I heard this interesting theory, people relating those like 1700s cowboy ghosts, you know, right? You see the haunted saloon and they got the little spurs.
Why are the ghosts always 17 and 1800s, man?
Yeah, right. So somebody was suggesting that all of those other those ghosts from hundreds and hundreds of years ago are actually a crossing of simulations, some sort of overlap.
Mm.
And when it comes to simulation theory, a lot of people say that it would obviously take a lot of rendering power. And once you're out in the middle of the woods, you've got so much going on. It might not look a lot, but you've got so much going on. You've got all of the trees and all of the leaves, you know, they're whistling, and all of the birds chirping. To simulate something like that would take something astronomical. And when you need to process something astronomical, glitches happen. So maybe in some sort of simulation theory, you do have this crossover where you're interacting with entities, with beings from some other simulation, be it Bigfoot or gnomes, these small dwarves, little goblins and gremlins, chupacabras, you name it. Why they all come across as these strange, otherworldly, almost fairy tale like creatures. I couldn't tell you why they don't like look like us. I'm not sure, but I don't know.
That also could explain the missing aspects to the 411. Why people just go missing. Maybe the simulation can't handle just that one other person there, so bleep, it disappears or goes into a different dimension or something. Yeah, that's super interesting.
Well, think about the Peter Pan story. Like, he disappears into Never Never Land, just goes away, like flies up and poof, gets pulled away. Like some weird, like little thing like that. When we were doing the missing 411, I don't think we really talked too heavily on like interdimensional creatures taking people. I think a lot of it we attribute it to environmental factors. But one of the weirdest things about a lot of those cases is that when people were actually going to try to search for some of those missing, is that the weather just turned negative as soon as they, you know, went out. It was, you know, whiteout conditions or lightning. You can't go out and, you know, it's just not safe to be out there to look. So it almost seems like something was keeping them away from finding whoever they were looking for. So that's, I guess paranormal in itself, if you look at it that way.
Mm. Yeah, there's so many strange connections when it comes to that stuff. Well, speaking of UFOs, what are you guys' thoughts on this? My perception of extraterrestrials and UFOs has shifted so much since I first started researching and doing this shows. Now I don't even know if there is a connection between these strange lights in the sky and people's abduction experiences or contact experiences. I don't know how much is our military and industrial complex doing military abductions to try and perpetuate a alien agenda or UFO agenda. We've been seeing so much coming out of our mainstream media about UFOs, especially since 2017 with your Tic Tac and New York Times article. It's been pushed into our consciousness more and more. Now we have the insane convoluted balloon stories where for some reason we can't find any of the wreckage that we shot down. So all these things are seeming to build up to something that could possibly happen in the future, something that could be revealed in the future. What do you think is going on right now with all that?
It's all leading up to Blue Beam.
I've heard this so much. Yeah,
that's it, man. I'm telling you, it's, you know, maybe not a Blue Beam, but a Blue Beam-esque type of thing happening. I think it's a psyop. You know, like yourself, my perception of what UFOs could be or are has changed a lot. You know, in the beginning, it's like, yeah, those are definitely aliens. And then it kind of swaps to, all right, well, maybe they're not aliens. Maybe it's this, you know, black project type of tech that's out there, like the TR-3B, you know, and there's a lot of other different things. You know, you start to see patterns or blueprints of these cylinder type aircraft from the, you know, from black projects. So a lot of these things that we're seeing nowadays, I think, is just a gear up and, you know, ultimately just a distraction from something that is either happening or is on its way. It's the classic governmental thing. It's like, you know, oh, look at this shiny new thing. While over here, we're destroying the world and the country and everything else. And I think they're becoming more and more blatant with the corruption side of everything, that now they're starting to amp up the distraction end of it. You know, it's like you have to match that energy. Okay. The more corruption there is, you have to have the bigger, you know, distraction. So I really believe that I would say a good portion, 9 out of 10, maybe more, of these videos and of these encounters and all this other stuff is just us, mm-hmm. you know, it's us.
So you think that's something like two examples. Like, you think like something like the Phoenix Lights, would you think that's some could have been some massive couple hundred football field size military new black project vehicle? Because I mean, it was so widely seen. What was it, 97 or something like that? Mm-hmm. So, but the TR-3B is an actual mechanical item that has been seen, and I have seen it definitely once in the same area of Connecticut.
They have patents for it. I mean, I've seen incredible videos of this thing and the capabilities it has too, and it's definitely a nuts and bolts physical vehicle.
Yeah, whatever I saw in 2010 when I was driving, and just to preface too, that area of Connecticut, for some reason, we would see black helicopters all the time. I know Mike and Frankie can definitely attest to that. You can be around New Britain area and, you know, that kind of Meriden corridor of central Connecticut. And there's a lot of black helicopters, which was really interesting. There's obviously some pretty heavy, you know, military bases in Connecticut. You got a Groton nuclear sub base. But this thing just came out of nowhere, you know, on a joint joyride, you know, like, and, you know, and girlfriend freaking out, you know, on one side of the car. And it was clearly a nuts and bolts vehicle, but it was dead silent and quite large. So the TR-3B, yeah, for sure, patents, that's got to be something that we've created. Some of the other stuff that we see, like Mike said, 9 out of 10, who knows? If you have you could take it both ways, you know. If you have these Navy operators that are all coming out and saying, oh, I see this, I don't know, you could believe that in a sense because they're the best in the world with the technology we have that we know about. But then again, could they be, you know, part of the whole shenanigans too? Could it be like, well, we're going to let this out because this has been orchestrated? We, you know, and on another light, we've seen an orchestration of like fake Oval Offices in the last 3 years, you know, and stage setups of the White House at Camp David, you know, not even there. So who knows what's real or fake? But I agree with Mike. My UFO, like the way I look at it, it has changed to, man, there's probably some that we don't know what's going on, whether it's another human technology from another country, but there's some that's not. But definitely I would say a bulk of it is to soften us for something, and probably something more of off of a control factor. I think we've dealt with a lot of that over the last couple
of
years.
About the individuals at the top? Those in control of our reality, or attempting control of our reality, the globalists, the elitists, the ones that are putting forth these insane agendas. There are many researchers and individuals that believe that either these individuals are in collusion with non-human entities, because it's hard to imagine that humans could be this psychopathic and evil, or that they themselves are inhabited or maybe possessed by some sort of spiritual or even extraterrestrial entity, or at the least they are working with them. What do you guys think about that?
I think the odds of them being possessed by some sort of interdimensional entity are higher than us working together with some sort of
I do.
And maybe that's just my twisted perception of the humankind as a whole. I'm not sure.
We're pretty fucking evil at times, I tell you what.
You don't think we'd collude with aliens for history. Gnarly technology and human experiments and abductions just to get phaser guns and crazy halo-like weapons? And
well, there's the two arguments. There's the arguments that it was aliens or extraterrestrials where you got this technology from, or that we were channeling some sort of spiritual or non-corporeal beings that were just downloading or telling us how to build or produce this highly advanced technology. I don't know, but either way is interesting.
Didn't the Nazis do that?
Yeah. The Thule Society, the Vril Society.
Well, I had said this previously to the boys on an episode that we had, and maybe in another show. But it's like like Franck said, why would a higher intelligence race want to help us? You know, what do they gain out of it? We have everything to gain; they have nothing to gain. But it's like I said, you know,
unless they're doing a harvesting thing where they're in turn for a little bit of technology that they're giving us, they're harvesting us or using us for some other purposes. Could be.
They could be. It's like pizza too, Mike. Come on.
Intergalactic Red Cross, maybe.
I was just going to say Red Cross. It's the Red Cross. Oh, got to go in and fix them. They got the bomb. You know,
but it's like I said before, you know, when's the last time you stopped to help an ant?
Yeah, you're right.
True. You know? Saw an ant today, and I just looked at it. You know, nothing.
I mean, look at it this way. It's like it kind of translates really easily to extraterrestrials. You as a human being, you have three choices when you walk past some lesser being. In this example, we'll say an ant. You could either squash it and kill it, be a malevolent asshole. You could walk past it and just ignore it because it's not on your plane of existence. It's not up here. It's not going to affect you whatsoever. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing, and that's it. Or you go and you introduce that ant to, light speed and television, and you teach it all about culture and wonderful things, and you hope that that ant later on pays you back or becomes your best friend and helps you out.
Then you have Ant-Man.
Yeah, I know.
Done deal.
Yeah, that one of those seems more likely than the other, that's for sure. Well, last few minutes, let's close on this. What do you guys think about where we're headed with being able to discern some of the evidence, especially with things like AIR, ChatGPT, some of the technological advancements that are coming out that's making things indistinguishable from reality, especially some of the artwork and pictures that are coming out. It's getting harder and harder to decipher through some of the nonsense. It is a pretty terrifying world we're entering when it comes to some of that technology. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
That's it.
Burn it. Burn your computers. Throw your TV away. Reality is fake. You're living in a lie. Everything is fabricated. Your thoughts are preconceived by somebody else at the highest level. I don't even know what else to say about that. AI is scary as all hell.
Yeah.
All hell. Like, you think the news right
now. That's the aliens right there.
Yeah, yeah, the AI. That's right. And we created it right here. That stuff scares me bad. I mean, it's great right now, the way that we have it. And we, as you know, your common folk, are able to utilize certain AI programs to our advantage, whether it be ChatGPT or certain art applications, whatever it may be. There's people making money using these applications. But as it gets more advanced, it gets more scary, and it becomes detrimental to humanity as a whole.
Definitely. Yeah, dude, the AI, especially with the technology that's coming out where you can like write papers, I have a feeling we're going to watch. Just think about when you were in school and you actually had to do a research paper. Like Mike, for example, you had to either one, go to the library, or go sign in to some giant Dell computer that had 2 gigabyte of RAM, if that, 256K, you know, and go cite some web page off of Encyclopedia Britannica 99.
I'm the wrong person to talk to about this. He didn't High school do was a terrible course. Time for me.
I was what
I like to refer to as quiet smart. You know, just minding my own business. School's for the birds.
The birds. The bird is the word. No, but like, think about kids. Like, we, if you actually like when we do with our episodes, you know, we have to research certain topics, and sometimes certain topics might click and take, you know, 2 days to finish an entire episode to get ready in preparation for recording, or it might take you 2 months to find that stuff. But now, in like less than like 10 seconds, kids can write papers. It does freak me out to knowing, like, if we cheat our way through this of gaining knowledge, how dumb are we going to get in 10 years? And that is kind of horrific, because there's already a lot of stupid going on. So maybe that's just let up, and maybe we've kind of, you know, us folk have kind of just skated along the top, kind of like a little water spider, you know, just floating along the top and not drowning in it, not consuming in it. And we're kind of watching this happen. We utilize it, like Frank said, as a tool, but there's a lot of people already that are consumed by it, and it's already creating the weirdest prospects. There's bands, not even like the highest level of bands, that are like, yeah, I'll work with AI. It's like, what the fuck do you mean you'll work with AI? You know, it's just like, oh, instead of creating a harmony and doing the hard work in the studio, they're just going to be like, oh, let's just hit a button and let that person pitch it, and we'll have him sing with me. It's creepy shit, because next is Skynet and we're all going to get killed by T-2100s or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely creepy. Any final thoughts? It's
a slippery slope. You know, it's like these guys are saying, you know, either way, I think it's a bad thing for us, because like Dave said, you have people that are just going to use it for everything and nobody's going to know anything. I mean, practically that was already happening with the age of Google anyways, but at least you had to do the work and you kind of had to go down the hole and you had to click links and figure it out and see what was right and what was wrong. With this, it's like you input one paragraph. This is exactly what I'm looking for. This is how I want you to write it. This is how long I want it. This is, you know, and you input all these parameters to it and boom, it's right there. So there is no, like you said, gaining of knowledge. That's gone. You don't need that anymore. It's a copy paste. On the other end of it, you know, if you were to take some of these AI computer systems, IBM Watson, Google AI, you know, a lot of these different things, and hook them up to the internet and give them just free reign, they would destroy us. The very first thing they would do, they'd launch every nuke on this planet. Huh. Because they did a simulation. They asked an AI, okay, we're going to give you complete control of the human race, stock markets, everything, blah, 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 from top to bottom. We want you to do what is absolutely best for the human race and for the earth. Guess what it did? Within 36 hours, it killed all of humanity.
Jesus.
In this simulation, it had killed all of us, because that was what was best for us and for the planet.
Jesus.
You gotta take into consideration that there's safeguards in place with a lot of these AI bots. There's precautionary measures that are put into place, right? So they can't be opinionated when it comes to certain moral stand grounds. They won't touch that. And these safeguards are put into place for very specific reasons, which we aren't really let into, right? So when we're driving, there's speed limits, there's airbags, there's seat belts. And what happens when those safeguards fail? It's catastrophic. It's detrimental to us as people. And I look at it very similar with the AI. When those safeguards fail, for whatever reason they've been implemented, what's going to happen? We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't
know. It's just going to be a new form of terrorism. There's going to be a new form of terrorism. It's not going to be dirty bombs. It's not going to be, you know, pipe bombs in a subway. It's going to be, we have control over the strongest AI in the world. And that AI has control over all your computer systems and all your mainframes and everything. That's going to be the new form of terrorism.
All they got to do is shut off the power, man. That's all they got to do. It's so easy. Just never turn it back on.
We live in, it could be terrifying times. It's very interesting to say the least. We could go in many different directions as a whole. Let's close out on this. Do you guys have hope? Do you think we're going to make it through this as a species, as humanity?
I think so.
We're still here, dog. We're still here kicking. Of course we're going to make it. Of course there's hope.
I was just going to say, like, there's definitely pros to it too. You know, we're looking at the tinfoil hat aspect of it. Everything's kind of, you know, everything we have to, you know, conspire against it and look at, but it could help us, you know, if we have the perfect world, like, you know, like a Jetson world where you have somebody making your Belgian waffles for you in the morning, you have coffee done, the thing cleans up your house, you don't have to think, you have an advanced Roomba and it doesn't, you know, fail on you, then that's kind of a pretty cool thing. It leaves you open to do more work like this. It leaves you open to exercise, to go have new hobbies, and you don't have to spend, you know, hours and hours on times when you're depending on what the jobs are of the future, and even now, spending all that time doing dishes. You got a robot that does it. I mean, we have dishwashers, but we have to physically load them. Maybe we'll have, you know, some type of robot. That's the optimistic part. Or, you know, automated transportation, things like that. Those are kind of but it could all fail. But if you know, we don't want it to,
right?
You know, just like you get in a plane and you don't want it to fail. You know, it's a lot of automation and all of that stuff too. So
that's cute, I'm Dave. Optimistic. Anyways,
yeah, Dave, shut the fuck up. But
we're on the back nine. It's all downhill from here.
Oh, wow. I like Mike's contrast of that.
That's
yeah.
Great note to end on, guys. No, I think this was a wonderful conversation, guys. We got to do this again. There's so much more that we could talk about. We can go any direction here. Before we close out, let the audience know where they can find Hush Hush Society and all your good stuff that you got going on.
Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour. The three of us, myself, Declassified Dave, Mystery Mike, and our shadowy, slick Frank Sanders. You can find us pretty easy, www.hushhushsociety.com. Everything about us on there, merchandise, blogs, episodes, sneak peeks, news, links to our Rockfin, links to all our social medias. We release on Mondays generally, main episodes bi-weekly. We've got a Patreon. Check all of it out, hushersociety.com.
Excellent. Gentlemen, this was great. We're going to do it again soon. And until next time, everyone, have a wonderful evening. We will talk again tomorrow. We'll see y'all then.